The rapper Gucci Mane is one of hip-hop's most prolific artists. Is it Gucci Mane or Gucci Man?
Gucci Mane.
I still don't know. Is that man or Mane?
It's Mane, but, you know, I'm cool with man, too. It's just some people pronounce it different.
At 37, Gucci Mane has 8 studio albums, dozens of mixtapes, and now he has a memoir out, The Autobiography of Gucci Mane. He's also the founder of a rap genre known as trap music.
In the trap house.
Trap, by definition, is a hustle or a spot or the act of just grinding. When I came up, trap was criminal. Trap meant that you was like in a drug-infested place, neighborhood, house. The music was about that lifestyle, anything pertaining to that lifestyle. But like right now, it's kind of like hard-hitting beats and just talking about the drug culture.
Brings going in, brings going out. Made a
But before Gucci Mane was the king of trap, he was Raedrick Davis, watching his dad hustle people on the streets of Atlanta for money. In Gucci's words, his father was a con artist.
You know, he had all kind of like gangs and just scams, like three-card Molly, shaking a pea, pigeon drop. All these are kind of like little scams that he learned, you know, saying tricks of the trade that he learned in the streets.
Gucci Mane learned these tricks too and took them to his own trade, dealing drugs.
I just watched his nature, and I watched his mannerism, and it's like he didn't really teach it to me, but I kind of adapted to it because I seen it.
You imitated it.
Exactly.
So back then, when you were like barely 13, 14 years old, and you started dealing drugs, it sounded like you were already really obsessed with money. Why was that?
I think I was obsessed with money definitely coming up because I seen so many people not having money. I seen so many people, you know, staying in shotgun houses or not really having good shoes on their feet. And I went to sleep hungry. I know what it was like to be poor. I knew what it's like to, you know, have your lights off or, you know, had to boil water to take a bath. And that never left me. In my mind, it was always like, try to make yourself not be a burden on nobody. Try to keep yourself at least financially independent enough where you're not a burden on your family because they don't got it.
And no matter what it took, I mean, when you were quite young as an adult, you were breaking into houses, robbing, expanding your drug dealing all over Georgia. Did it feel justified in your mind? Because at least you were making a living and you were not depending on other people to feed you.
It wasn't justified. I think that it's kind of like I know myself from even thinking of, you know, who I was hurting or the chances or how risky it was, the chances I was taking. It was kind of like, I just want to get to a point where, you know, I'm comfortable, I'm straight, I'm well off. And at that time, in hindsight, looking at it now, that's what I thought was the way to get there.
When you started your rap career, you would brag about these exploits in your music.
I'm so wasted, she's so wasted. Tell the bar, tell the stand between the marks.
Which, in a way, only strengthened your reputation on the street as a drug dealer. So I'm just curious, did you live the lifestyle for the music, or was the music a way to enhance your image as a drug dealer back then?
To be honest, once I got my first charge of like 2021, music was like, this is what I'm going to do. I don't want to sell drugs no more. You know.
Did you feel like you could get out of it, though?
Yeah, but at that point, it was like, I want to be a professional rapper. You know what I'm saying? I want to get in the music business. But at the same time, it was like, I still need money to pay for studio time. I still need money to get myself out there.
Did you feel like your life was precarious, that this wasn't sustainable indefinitely?
100%. I felt like selling drugs was going to have a terrible consequence at the end if I kept going.
You had this looming dread.
It was facts, you know. It was just like, I seen how bad it can be.
Yeah.
I seen people who got serious cases and did serious time at a young age. I seen people getting robbed. I had friends or people who was getting killed. So I already knew once I had that first charge, like, I got to do something. And I kind of made a conscious decision, like, I'm going to be a rapper. And I'm going to be serious about it. No matter what happened, I'm going to make it happen.
Hi, my name is Gucci, man. I'm addicted to everything.
So you were living the trap life as you were releasing these albums, and part of that lifestyle was this drink called Lean, which you were hooked on for many years. Tell us, what is Lean, first of all?
Lean is cough syrup.
Yeah, but not just any cough syrup, right? We're not talking about Robitussin. This is codeine, it's like prescription
codeine,
cough syrup.
Codeine with promethazine, like definitely with a prescription.
Yeah.
I was addicted to that for several years, and it derailed my career. I was doing a recreational drug when it was time for me to be 100% dialed in. The third week out of rehab, man, forget this. They teaching them,
like, why you smoking blunts and sipping and you a millionaire. You were in and out of county jail for much of your young adult life. And then in 2014, you were convicted of firearms possession and you entered federal prison for the first time, federal prison. And it was at that time that you decided, this is it. This is going to be a turning point for me. And I'm just curious, why at that point? Because all of your problems with law enforcement up until then, that was just part of your image. It was part of the image in your music. It was part of the image your fans connected with in some ways. But what made your time behind bars in 2014 suddenly different?
So I actually made, you know, the decision, you know, to try to like change my life in 2013 when I first arrested before I even got the time.
Why was that?
Because I was facing a bunch of time.
Yeah.
So that right there is what made me come to the decision, like, I need to change my life. No matter what the outcome or the sentence is, I'm finna start doing better.
And why did you decide to write a book while you were in prison, a book about your life?
I just had time to sit down and reflect. And I was reading books. I had read Johnny Cash biography. I read Mike Tyson biography. I read two biographies on Jimi Hendrix. And then when I read the two biographies on Jimi Hendrix, I was like, let me tell my story myself. You know, and they just came up with the idea, and I just started writing, and I wrote like 30, 40 pages my first time when I sat down to write the book.
Well, what is the story that you wanted to write about yourself? I mean, is this a story, is your book a story about redemption, or is it a story about kind of glorifying the guy you were before federal prison? Because honestly, it doesn't seem like you regret a lot of the things that you had done.
I think it's just a fascinating story. It's not a regrettable biography. It's just a truth. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's the underdog story because I've been jumping hurdles my whole life. I done made a lot of mistakes. Yeah. And I feel like I'm a resilient person. I shook out for them and I kept going. And I just want to let people know. I hope when people read my book, that's what they get out of it. Like, okay, well, Gucci went through a lot. He's doing something that maybe a lot of people would love to do, but at the same time, he took it for granted at a time and made mistakes, but he bounced back from it, and he better for it. And let them know, hey, if he can do that, it's never too late for me to turn my life around because look what he did.
Gucci Mane. His new book is called The Autobiography of Gucci Mane. Thank you very much for talking with us.
No, thank you. I really appreciate you.